Now, Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. And hello to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford, who's having a bit of a hot flash over here right now. We have Larry manning the phones. Hello, Larry. Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, I've been doing other things.
And, yeah.
Ryan said, can you go in tonight? I said, I'm already here. I might as well stay.
Might as well just stay. Yeah, yeah. Ryan's been a little tired working all these jobs of his. So, well, it's great to see you, Larry. Yeah. And we have the one and only Alyssa McNamara-Reed. Hi.
Good morning. Haven't seen you in a
good
while.
Afternoon. Oh,
good afternoon.
Evening.
Right. I know. It feels really late. It's dark so early.
It's really, really
early. I feel like it's bedtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, it's going to be a good show.
What time do you get up in the morning? Is it like 4
five,
o'clock?
I get up at like 5:15.
So
I know,
or.
Right? I need
and
to go to
you
bed.
Go to the gym.
Yeah, I do.
I know. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's great to see you. Haven't seen you in a little bit. You actually have some paperwork for me to sign.
Oh, and of course I forgot it. Yep, yeah, of course it's still all sitting good. On my desk.
Let's just all get good. All our
all
business
right,
put
tomorrow,
together here.
Mental note, and I'm going to set a reminder yeah. right now on my phone.
I won't be around tomorrow, okay, so don't worry
that.
About that.
Okay.
So,
right.
So we have Alyssa McNamara-Reed with us today, and of course from McNamara Financial, and all of you listen to her every Saturday morning. You're doing most of the shows now, right?
My dad and I do half and half, approximately. So I do about 2 a month, he does 2 a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody knows you from McNamara Financial and McNamara Money is the radio show. You guys are just like throwing all kinds of paper at me.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Keep up with us. Work with us, would you, Sharon?
I know.
Well, while you're doing that, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So happy that you're here because I always have so many questions for you
sure,
that I can barely contain myself.
No.
What are our topics going to be? And I already know what I want the you're on again in December, and I already know what I want the topics to be.
Okay.
So.
Well, Melissa sends me a lovely reminder email every week before the show, and mm-hmm. I, you know, don't generally think that far ahead in my life right now. But I had a couple of ideas. We can really go in any direction you ladies want.
Mm-hmm.
One of my ideas was how to and how not to use equity from your home.
Mm-hmm.
And another one, I just thought like year-end planning, since we're approaching the end of the year, year-end planning as it relates to your assets, your investments, tax-related issues, withdrawals, contributions, things like that.
Perfect. Okay. I think that that's great because one of the things that I wanted to talk about in December is how to prepare for the new year. So I find it at the end of the year, sometimes it becomes one of those things where we beat ourselves up for the things that we didn't do.
Yeah.
So maybe going into the new year, setting some goals, and maybe we can set goals like reasonable goals. I remember when, you know, the girls were babies and Michael, her dad, came over and, you know, told me that I had to start saving. Now, I wasn't working and the kids were little and we were living
solely off of McNamara Plumbing, who hadn't started his company but maybe 5-6 years. And he said, well, in order for your girls, they're pretty bright, to go to really great schools, college, you have to start saving about $2,100 a month.
He's a nice
yeah.
man.
And I looked at him because he has all his calculations.
Reality check, Sharon.
Yeah, it was scary. I literally went into the bathroom, and I'm sort of afraid of your dad. I don't know if you know that. So I walked.
Nothing to be afraid of.
No. He's very nice. It's just, you know, the matriarch sort of. Yeah. And I went into the bathroom and started crying. I was like, my children are never going to go to college. I'm not going to be able to break the, what is that? You know what I mean?
Cycle.
The cycle.
Yeah.
And, but anyways, but he was like absolutely right, because if I went back to that day and figured it all out, it was probably right.
Yeah.
Ooh, talking about breaking the cycle, is it better to take a motorcycle or a bicycle, or what's going on out there tonight, Malcolm?
We've got heavy delays still coming down Route 128. Sharon, good evening to you. This report brought to you by the Foundation for a Better Life. It's all tied up from Route 3 in Burlington all the way down to Route 24. Northbound Expressway up to 24. 95 is slow. 128 down to the Dedham Street overpass. Again, Mechanic Street to an accident just before Route 495. Route 3, you've got slow traffic down past Union Street. More delays, 53 down through Pembroke. They're clearing a breakdown out of a bad spot right before Route 139. On the expressway, you've got heavy traffic just about all the way into Braintree, northbound from Braintree up to Neponset, and again approaching the O'Neill Tunnel. Winston Churchill's words stirred his country in the face of defeat. Today, they inspire us to reach for our own victories. Commitment. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com. Traffic on the Nines every morning. I'm Malcolm Alter in the WATD Traffic Center.
Don't miss a minute of Talk Real Estate. Check out the podcast page at talkrealestateradio.com. Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate.
And we're back. Hello to all my South Shore neighbors. It sounds like it's really not a great traffic night out there. So hopefully you can, well, you are sitting back if you're driving. You're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. And we have Alyssa McNamara Reed with us today from McNamara Financial. Again, she has a show that she does with Michael McNamara on Monday, Saturday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And they talk everything finance. Great show. I love tuning in. And when I miss it, I go on to your podcast.
Thank
so
you.
Why don't you tell people how they can get to your podcast?
Good question. I think it's
McNamara on Money.
Go to McNamaraFinancial.com and click on air, and it will lead you to the podcast.
It will lead you to the podcast.
Yeah, I forget the... I know if you go to your podcast app on your phone, you can just search for McNamara on Money. And we pop up.
Yeah. Perfect. It is good too, because when we take long trips, we're going to be heading up to Vermont tomorrow for senior weekend, if you can believe it. Mackenzie's last two volleyball games.
I can't
games.
Believe she's a senior.
Can't either.
Yeah.
And we listen to those as well, which is great. And you know what I like about it is, like, you can listen to the ones that sort of relate to what I would be interested in.
Yeah.
Because now I don't care about the college ones.
Right.
But it is really, I mean, it is great for those people who are, and I'm guessing, you know, our listeners tonight, the ones who are on their way home, they're probably going home to young families or families thinking about college and doing all those things. So some of the conversations that you have on that are really, really good. So. Yeah. Tonight we're going to be talking about some year-end planning and some retirement contributions and how the best way to use the equity in your home. And why don't we start off with
that? Yeah, what do you want to start with?
That's a
good
one.
I thought you might be
because
more interested in that one.
Because people actually have equity in their homes now.
Yeah.
In 2008, you know, some
not
people
so much.
Were upside down, but pretty much you should have equity in your home. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I just had some, it was just sort of stream of consciousness. It's not really in any particular order, but I was just thinking about different ways that people use their home that I support and maybe that I don't support, and just was sort of thinking of, came up with some bullet points. So I guess the first one I came up with is, do use equity in your home, I guess specifically thinking about an equity line of credit in this example. So if you have an equity line of credit, do use that if you think you can pay it off in a reasonable amount of time. So, and that's, how do you define a reasonable amount of time? And it's hard to have these discussions now with interest rates being so low and having been so low for so many years that people rely on equity lines to fund many things in their life. And I think that that's fine depending on what it is, but you are subject to interest rate risk when you use your equity line to pay for expenses. So most equity lines are a floating rate loan. And so as interest rates rise, your interest on that loan will rise as well. So if you can't pay off an equity line in, I would say, 5 years or less, you really are running the risk of interest rates rising and you getting behind on paying down principal and getting yourself into a bad situation. So again, people have sort of a high tolerance. People, it's been easy for people to use an equity line recently because interest rates have been so low. The interest is very minimal and we haven't seen much of a spike in interest rates. It's been a very small rise in interest rates. So, but people do need to bear that in mind as the Fed likely embarks on, you know, raising interest rates further. People need to bear in mind that that's a floating rate loan. And if you can't pay it off in a reasonable amount of time, you're could get into a bad situation.
Is that the kind of loan, and I've never had one, the line of equity there, is that the one that you can pay interest, like they only require you to pay interest?
Yeah, so it's not a home equity loan is like a fixed term and you have fixed principal and interest payments.
Okay.
A line of credit is where they say it's similar to a credit card where you have an amount that you can borrow. So a line of credit is the bank says, here's how much you can borrow from your home. Here's a checkbook. If you would like to borrow from your home, you write a check. And you, when you receive a statement in the mail or you get the email regarding your payment, your mandatory payment is just interest. So the mandatory payment doesn't include pay down of principal. I think there's some, I think after 10 years or something, it goes into a fixed, it goes into an amortizing loan after 10 years. But, you know, hopefully people don't carry their lines of credit for that long and get into that situation. But yeah, it's not a fixed term. It's just an open line of credit. You can borrow as much as you need to borrow up to the ceiling that's available to you. And it's a floating interest rate loan. Again, right now it's easy for people to borrow on those because interest rates are so low, but they've been significantly higher in the past. And that's a risk that people run with a floating rate loan, like an equity line of credit.
And that's one of the things we're noticing, too. So the interest rates are still low. And as Cindy was saying when we first started, is people are now sort of recovering from being upside down and they're starting to see equity in their homes. And I remember in 2004 and 2005, vividly remember phantom income. And I remember talking to your dad about this a lot, too, during that time when, you know, the appraised value of these homes was so high. And people were just taking out loans on their home, and we called it phantom income because they had nothing to show for it.
Right.
So they were taking out all this money on their house and they were going on trips, they were buying cars, they were buying boats, they were doing all these things, but no improvements to the house. So then when it came time to, you know, the crash came and the houses weren't worth as much, all
and
they
equity
had were
lines
pictures.
Were being closed left and right, and people weren't able to borrow on them anymore.
They weren't able to do that. So hopefully people won't, you know, now that, you know, their appraised value is going up and they're probably above water and interest rates are low, they still have to make some wise decisions.
I
mean, don't just get the loan based on the fact that you can.
Right. You know, dovetailing on that, my second bullet was, you know, don't use your equity line if you don't have a plan for paying it down. Just because you can afford to pay that interest payment doesn't mean you can afford to spend that money.
Right.
Even though that money is available to you, it's like a credit card. Even though you might have $25,000 available to you on a credit card, it doesn't mean you can afford it. If you don't have a plan for paying down that debt, you know, the example that Sharon just used was a perfect one. If you don't have a plan for paying down that debt, or if you find yourself unable to pay down principal and then interest rates rise, then you have a harder time even meeting your interest payments without paying down principal. And then, if the real estate values fall again, and then you don't have anything to fall back on. And you can't take a sale for granted because sale price in the future could be lower than value now.
Just, you know, everyday life unexpectancies, you know, that happen. You know, you never know if, you know, one of you, if it's you and your husband, one could get sick or life changes. Or even think about that. I mean, 10 years ago, if I had thought about taking out a home equity loan, maybe 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been thinking about college as much as I'm thinking about college. Well, I have one more payment.
Yeah, that's so congratulations.
I have one more.
That's phenomenal. That's congratulations.
We are going to have a party. Yeah, and it's funny because she could have graduated in December, and I was like, hey, I have that one more payment if you want it. You can just have that and put it towards grad school.
Yeah,
but she decided to stay. I don't know, get another minor. But anyways, so yeah, don't just get the money. And I just feel like future planning, I feel like in my life, Mark and I sort of made some decisions that I'm so happy with now, like that we didn't get the big, you too, you stayed in the same house since,
yep.
you know, 1992,
91. Yep. 92, yeah.
You know, we didn't sell the house that we paid. I paid $137.5. For my house.
No.
Yeah.
164.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
No.
Wow. No. So I'm glad that we didn't sell and get the McMansion. So still making wise decisions.
Yeah.
When you were talking about something, I just want to sort of break in, and I'm sorry to do this, but do you have an age in your head where you say to people, this is where I feel that you should base sell having your home sold paid off 100%? Like, is that definitely by retirement?
Not really. That's so hard to answer. I mean, ideally, people's debt is gone at retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on the size of the assets involved, and it depends on people's definition of retirement as well. I mean, the definition mm-hmm. of retirement has changed in the last 10, 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, it means retiring from one job and continuing to consult or work part-time or mm-hmm. do something for income. So, you know, it depends. No, I guess to answer your question, I don't have an age in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm planning with people on the younger side in their 30s and 40s, we're certainly having, and even 50s, certainly having conversations about trying to line up the amortization of their loan so that it lines up with what we think is a rough retirement mm-hmm. age or a typical retirement age of early to mid 60s. But mm-hmm. no, I don't, you know, there have been people that I have you know, told them that I think they can comfortably afford to retire even if they still carry a mortgage. And mm-hmm. then there have been people that I've said, I really think you should continue to work until the debt is gone. It just depends yeah. on the situation.
And where you are
right.
in life.
Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford and Alyssa McNamara Reed, and we're talking about finances. Right now we're just talking about how you should spend that equity in your home if you have some equity. 781-837-4900. We are live tonight, and we have Larry manning the phones. So if you have any questions for Alyssa, please give us a call. And if you have any questions regarding, you know, buying or selling a home, certainly feel free to call us as well. So back on the where you should be spending the equity, did mm-hmm. you have other things that specifically that you had your bullet points? Because I have some other questions.
Just an easy, I mean, you know, feel free to ask questions whenever, but just mm-hmm. another really easy one. It's different from the first two, but another easy one is don't use equity in your home in favor of investing in the markets.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people know that, and maybe that can go unsaid, but I feel like I need to say it anyway. You know, it's, you know, if you have, you know, long-term real estate appreciation has been, you know, you guys can correct me, roughly 5% per year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, somebody might look at the U.S. stock market and it's been up 20% in the past year. Who knows what it'll do in right. the future, but mm-hmm. it was up 20% in the past year. So, hey, somebody could make a case for, you know, why don't I take some equity in my home and I'll invest it in the market and I'll out-earn what my home can earn when it's sitting in my home. You know, and again, hopefully it goes without saying that that's a really terrible idea because you never know what the markets will do.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what the real estate markets will do. And if you need that equity back and it's not there, then that's just a really, really scary situation and not a smart thing to yeah. do ever. Too risky.
I recently met with a client and they had just purchased a few years ago. And unfortunately, he had lost his job about 6 months ago and is having a difficult time filling the void. But he was the breadwinner of the family and they're having a tough time having ends meet. Now he's thinking he maybe wants a different job career and he's just trying to figure it all out. But he asked me about renting the house instead of selling it because he put a lot of equity down when they purchased this house. And I was like, well, tell me why. Why would you want to do that? And he said, well, you never know. I mean, the market could go up. I mean, the people across the street bought their house and it's worth so much more. So maybe at one point my house will be worth $800 versus $600. And I was like, well, you don't have a job right now. Like,
yeah.
So also what could happen is that it could not be worth $600 and it could be worth $4.
Right.
You know what I mean? You
right.
just never know and which way it's going to go.
Right. And rent could be unsteady or you could have a poor tenant in there.
Oh.
Not poor, like awful tenant, I mean, or
unreliable. Someone who doesn't pay.
Yeah,
I
right.
mean, someone doesn't
right.
pay, then you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
I think you know our next caller here.
Tom from Kingston hasn't called me in a while on my show and I'm taking that a little bit personally. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good. Yeah, in the morning there, I was going to call a couple times, but I says, no, she's doing fine on her own.
Oh, thanks.
She doesn't need me.
You gave me your blessing. Thank you. You set me free.
You don't need them anymore.
I found my wings.
She talks in plain English so people can understand. Now, Mike, another thing, that's Daddy, I know.
Oh.
But one thing I do miss is the fishing report.
Oh, well, we had it
at the end of the season.
Right, yeah. 2 weeks ago, I think, was the last one. Well, sorry about that. Yeah.
I want to talk about the line of credit that you can get, the home equity line of credit.
Okay.
And a couple of people have used it. They've had credit cards that were at a higher interest rate.
Yep.
And what they do is go ahead and pay that to help their credit scores and then continue whatever their payments are. So if their payments are $89 a month or $120 a month, continue making the same amount of payments on the home equity. This way, I know it's only interest only, and it's usually just a few dollars, but at least they're paying down the principal, and it's very aggressive as far as paying it down.
Yeah, so Tom, under the heading of I don't need you anymore, I had that on my bulleted list for this evening.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sharon and Cindy can prove it. But no, that's an excellent point. I actually... there's a couple ways to talk about that, but you're right. If someone has an equity line available to them and it's at a, you know, right now, very low interest rate, and they're paying 20% on a credit card debt or something like that,
sure,
then obviously transferring it to a tax deductible equity line of credit at a much lower interest rate is a wise move. But again, assuming that they are paying it down on roughly the same schedule. If they put it on the equity line and then are just paying the minimum payments, which is interest only, then that doesn't help them. At least on the credit card, they were paying down principal. But and I've recommended that strategy in the past. You know, if you can move a high interest rate debt to a lower interest rate debt, that's a tax deductible debt to boot, then that's definitely a wise move as long as they're diligent about paying it down.
I got a phone call from somebody that I was helping with their getting on a budget, and they said, oh, I got this offer from the bank to transfer funds to pay down a loan. So first of all, you pay a transfer fee of 5%.
Oh.
And all these other things, I say, don't you have a home equity line of credit? Yeah. I said, have you used it? No. Well, the good thing is you established it. You have it. Maybe it would be better to entertain that. Let's talk.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. And then also when somebody... You know, with car payments being so low now, a lot of times it's 0%, but there are people that have to pay, you know, 4%, 5%, 6% on their car loans. Mm-hmm. And I said, so what are your payments going to be? Well, $329 a month, I can afford that. Oh, that's good, I says. But again, home equity, the home equity line of credit, if you can pay off that vehicle with that, and like you said, the interest is tax deductible.
Yeah.
And you know, again, you're going to be disciplined. If you can be, and there's a two-letter word, if.
Right, disciplined is the key. Tom, I have a client who years ago, this is probably going back 10 years, she was going to take out, she was buying a car and she was going to take the car loan, and it was probably at 5 or 6%. And, you know, I said, no, don't take the car loan, put it on your equity line of credit, tax deductible, interest rate was lower at the time.
Sure.
And so she did it. And then a few years later, she came in and she said, you know, that was great financial advice, but I wasn't disciplined enough to pay it down. Like it depends on the personality or the, you know, the discipline is the right word of the person using that strategy, because if they don't pay it down on roughly the same schedule, then they can get themselves into trouble and end up paying more interest over the life of the loan anyway.
Because after the 10 years, then you go principal and interest at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so then it gets into a little more aggressive. And I heard of a person who got laid off from their job, and they needed that to keep their head above water, making the mortgage payments and everything else. So they took out so much. And within 4.5 months, they were back to work, and so they were able to pay that down. Mm-hmm. But they used that home equity line of credit just to keep them going until they start the new job.
Mm-hmm. It's a good... back up to an emergency reserves account.
Again, that four-letter word, if.
Right.
If exactly. You're disciplined enough to pay the minimum payment that you were paying on the credit card or whatever the car payments would be, it's a good tool to use to take care of that. The only problem is, like mine is coming up to the 10-year. I'm wondering if I close it out and then reopen. Is that, I've never entertained that idea.
I don't know. I would imagine a bank would do that, or you close it out and you go to a new bank. But yeah,
right, mm-hmm.
right.
I don't know if that was something that could be done, especially where it doesn't cost anything to open it up.
Right.
In most places, and they do it pretty good.
Right.
Well, one of the things, too.
Thank you for that phone number, by the way. I called the number, left a message, and waiting for him to call back, by the way.
Okay, McNamara Plumbing, 781-294-7100.
For all your plumbing needs.
For all your plumbing needs, exactly. And
you
yes,
know what?
It was
I looked
nice
at the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the reviews, and they're all positive. It's nice.
Oh, good. I didn't even know he had any reviews out there, because everything he does is referral, so that's good to know that he has some. So,
yeah, I looked at the reviews. It's like a 5-star rating, and he's at 4.5 stars. I don't know why the way the people wrote it, you would think that it would be 5 stars right across the board. But then
yeah,
it was,
some people just can't give you 5, though.
No,
that's
they can't.
Just the way it works.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it's funny because we have a bad one on Yelp. Somebody got angry with one of our agents, and it's like, you know, you have, you know, 100 great ones, and then there's one bad one. It's like, oh, was it us or was it you?
You know? Yeah, right.
But you know what? I've seen that also on Facebook.
Yeah.
Certain people will give negative comments, but then the person that or the company that's making that it was against, they get to put a little comment below that says, well, we've asked you to call us so we can settle it, and whether they did or not. But at least other people reviewing it can see that and say, okay, the person never made an effort.
Yes.
So, which is good.
And one of the things, too, that you were talking about with this equity loan, too, I don't suggest that people go out and buy, you know, a 40-foot boat and, you know, use a home equity loan. And you know what I mean? Because that way there, if you can't afford to pay that payment, at least you're only losing a boat, not your home, too.
Right.
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 So
but if
that's,
you ladies
that's a good way to look
do,
at it.
If you guys decide to do that and get Chinese food, give me a call.
Okay.
Listen, all you guys have a good night.
All right. Thanks,
Tom.
All right, bye-bye.
So that was Tom from Kingston, and he called me earlier today at the office to get the phone number for McNamara Plumbing. Yeah.
Oh,
so.
I can vouch for McNamara Plumbing.
Yes. Yeah.
Me too.
781-837-4900. If you have any questions for Alyssa, we're here today with Alyssa McNamara Reed from McNamara Financial, and we're talking all things finance. Right now we're just touching upon how should you use your line of credit or the equity that you have in your home? What are good ideas? What are bad ideas? What do you think about people taking out loans for college?
Loans on their home.
Yeah.
Again, I think it falls under the heading of don't take out loans if you don't have a plan for paying them back.
Mm-hmm.
I have recommended people use equity from their home for college in the past, and I'm sure I will continue to do that in the future. It's not a blanket recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it depends on their real estate plans as well. I have a client now who's in a million-dollar home in, I think, Newton or one of the Metro West, you know, wealthier towns there. And their plan is not to stay there indefinitely. And when their kids get out of school, there'll be a downsize. So that's a situation where they have significant equity in a home. They need to get one child through college. They're planning on a downsize later. It makes sense, you know, without having readily available cash flow anywhere else, that it made sense in that situation to use equity. They did a cash out refinance and used equity, and they'll still be able to retire mortgage free. But, you know, same, I guess, if you can afford to pay it back again, and if you have a plan to pay it back in a reasonable amount of time, if it's a floating rate loan, if it's a fixed rate loan, if you can still pay it back and still, you know, achieve your retirement goals, then I don't have a problem with people using equity from the home. But I think it's not incredibly common that people could do that, that they could take $100,000 or $200,000 of equity from their home and not significantly impact their own retirement or their own current and future financial situation. Right.
Yeah.
So it's.
And that's what some of the things that you're thinking about. I know you do such a great job with, you know, when Mark and I were we come and see you. We're supposed to once a year. So when we did come in this year too, it's like, you know, just trying to line everything up because now I won't have that college payment anymore. And you know, what do we do? Where do you know?
What do we
mean?
Do with the money?
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's a great problem to have, Sharon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
those
I wish
are
it
great.
Was really that.
Those are great meetings.
Yeah,
I have extra
really
money
have
next year.
Work at shop at Marshall's. It's my favorite place. But
me too.
But it is. It's. I think it's nice that you know, starting with you know your dad years ago and then, you know, working with you, it's you can see the different cycles in your life. And you also see, you know, taking care of our parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so much that is involved with all of that. You know, the sandwich generation, taking care of the kids, taking care of the parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not taking care of ourselves in between. So that's what I asked Mark. One of the things I want to do is I want to just, like, go to that Mount Washington Hotel.
Yes. Well, before
I've never stayed in it. Yeah. So I want to do that.
I don't know if
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And they had dinner dancing then and went up there in the fall, rode our bikes around.
Pretty.
But that was probably 25 years ago.
Oh, well. Yeah.
I don't know if they still have that. It was great. Loved it up there.
I know. So you can't do those things for a while.
Because
what are the ages of the girls now?
5, 6, and 8.
You have 3?
Yeah, I have 3. And I just got the baby bug again recently.
Really?
Yeah. But
a boy?
I'm moving past it. I'm
pushing through.
I don't know. I was at gymnastics watching my youngest, and there was a woman next to me with this just pumpkin of a baby. Just so sweet and adorable. And I just, you know, my oldest is 5 now, so I'm completely past that baby stage, and I just keep going.
Keep walking.
Yeah. I know.
You can babysit. One of our agents just had a baby. I'll tell her she needs a babysitter. But we have to go to our break. But real quick, right. I do have to tell you a funny story. So Casey babysat for the girls over the summer a couple times, and boy, did she enjoy it. Oh. I mean, oh my gosh, some of the stories that she would come home with were a riot. But one of your stories was something, one of your commercials is about a mermaid. But apparently the girls have this mermaid blanket.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I think your mom bought them.
Yeah,
right?
they pull it over their legs.
Yeah.
It's a mermaid.
And it's
tail.
A mermaid,
yeah. Yeah.
No lie, Casey, first year of law school, 23 years old, all she does is talk about that mermaid. She goes, I'm going to buy myself one. I'm telling you, I'm buying myself one.
They're
the
really
day.
Cozy.
she sent me a picture the other day. Yeah, she bought herself one on Amazon.
I got one for Kimmy last year for Christmas. She loves it because she thinks she's a mermaid.
Oh, that's
21.
So funny.
She wears a mermaid blanket all the
time. When we get to
the
break, I'm going to show you that picture, but I've been thinking about it as you've been talking. So we're going to take breaks. When we come back, 781-837-4900. Anything finance that you want to talk about doesn't have to be about equity in your home. We have Alyssa McNamara-Reed here with us today from McNamara Financial and also McNamara Money every Saturday morning here on WATD. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mike McNamara with McNamara Financial Services in Marshfield. Folks want an advisor they can trust and who cares about them. Finding that person takes some work. Where do you start? Well, I think you should listen to Alyssa, Kirk, and me every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. here on WATD. It's an easy way to get to know us. One of us could be that advisor you're looking for. We're local and we're a family business. 781-834-2010 or McNamaraFinancial.com.
I hate rain.
What are you talking about? I love rain.
Yeah, well, you're a duck.
Your point?
Well, being a duck, you're not a homeowner. Rain is great for the garden, but it also can bring wet, smelly basements.
I love a wet basement. Who doesn't like an indoor swimming pool?
Me. I'm calling Watchman Waterproofing.
Oh, no.
I'm Tim from Watchman Waterproofing. Water in the basement is no joke. It can damage appliances, cause mold and mildew, as well as structural damage, while decreasing your home's value. At Watchman Waterproofing, we make basements dry. No nonsense, no excuses. Whether it's a small leak or you're ankle deep, Watchman Waterproofing will solve your wet basement problem permanently. Don't wait. Call Watchman Waterproofing today at 1-800-653-4309 or go to WatchmanWaterproofing.com. That's WatchmanWaterproofing.com.
I never knew a dry basement could be this nice. I'm glad you went to WatchmanWaterproofing.com.
When the line between the South Shore and Mother Nature's wrath becomes blurred and life seems anything but fair, one thing is for certain.
The leaves are plugging up my downspouts.
My gutters are overflowing.
What the heck's going on up there?
It's not in theaters. It's live and coming to your neighborhood, The Fall.
Call 911.
No, call 1111 781 421 1111. We need the South Shore Gutter Monkeys.
Zach and Mike turned in a gritty performance.
Look, on the roof. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's a South Shore Gutter Monkey.
Who will survive the fall? Visit SouthShoreGutterMonkeys.com.
Look, I'm a husband and a father, but I'm not going up there.
We're the South Shore Gutter Monkeys. We clean gutters and chew bubble gum, and we're all out of bubble gum.
Who will save us from the fall?
South Shore Gutter Monkeys, may I help you?
No monkeys were harmed in the making of this commercial.
We now return to Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Hello to all my South Shore neighbors. Hopefully you're making it through all that traffic on your way home and listening to us. I am here along with my co-host Cindy Ford, and we have Alyssa McNamara-Reed from McNamara Financial. And every Saturday morning, I mean, we only have 45 minutes of our show, but Alyssa and Michael McNamara, her father, do the show every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. And they have lots of great information, lots of different co-hosts and stuff.
And
so what are some of your co-hosts?
You were supposed to be on this weekend, and someone had a little snafu with their scheduling.
I forgot. Well, I planned them all in January, and I didn't realize Mackenzie would have senior weekend this weekend. Yeah. And then there's Melissa. She's like, you know you're on McNamara Financial this weekend? I go, am I calling in?
Oh, yeah. So this weekend we're talking about sort of dovetailing off the show we did last time where we talked about home improvements, where we have a home design consultant coming on and to talk about home renovations and, when does it make the most sense to renovate the home? Is, you know, at what time during your life in the home does it make sense? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the difference between a full renovation and not a Band-Aid fix, but, you know, a facelift.
Yeah.
Right. And talking about kitchens and baths. And
yeah. And that will be a good one, too. Like, and one of the things I might do, because we do listen when we're up there, we have TuneIn Radio.
Okay.
So maybe I can call in just a little bit, too, from the perspective. We get that question a lot, Sin. And I talk people out of doing things. I talked somebody, actually a mutual client of ours, we were talking about that, was going to do an entire full kitchen on the first. Full bath on the first floor. And I was like, why? And they're like, well, in case they wanted a first floor bedroom. I was like, it's a four bedroom colonial. Like,
right, cool. Yeah. I routinely try to talk people out of renovating, especially right before sale. I mean, I'm all for renovating.
Absolutely.
And, lifestyle choices. But if any of the Boston Connect agents want to join me on the show this weekend, I would welcome a realtor to join us because I would love that.
Probably am.
Okay. I would love that. That opinion. That's a so key important. Component.
Sure.
So that would be great.
Yeah. So
that'll be
maybe
a fun
we'll
show.
Have Cindy there.
Yeah.
So that would be good.
Okay.
Because it is important. And I know, like, I have a house on the market right now, and one of the things they did is this unbelievable, beautiful, basement renovation. Probably the best I've ever seen.
Wow.
Like, so gorgeous. And I was like, I wish that they had called me a while ago.
Did they
How
do
much
that
money did
specifically
they spend
because
on?
They were putting?
No, they were planning on staying, and then life changes happen, and they. For good things. I mean, they fell in love with another piece of property I had for the lot, and they're building another, new home and everything. But this basement is just, I mean, the carpet itself, I'm like.
This person sounds like they like to renovate and they need a project and they're looking for a new project.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, again, we are talking with Alyssa McNamara-Reed, and we're talking all things finance. If you have any questions, please give us a call, 781-837-4900. We're talking a little bit about home equity, but do you want to talk a little bit about end of year and things, people,
sure.
it's a little late, but like, can somebody catch up at this point?
My mind was going toward, like, if we think about people that are contributing to retirement plans, for example, like if you have a 401k or a 403b through work or another type of retirement plan where you're taking money or you're deferring your salary and directing it toward a retirement plan. We're getting to the point where it's a little bit late to alter that. But, if someone, had in their head a specific goal or a dollar amount that they wanted to get in for the calendar year, or if they wanted to max it for the calendar year, it's not too late to modify. For most people, it shouldn't be too late to modify the salary deferral and to get extra money in before the close of the year. Sometimes people have more flexibility than others with regards to how often they can change their salary deferral. But for people considering that, it might be a good time to check and see how much you've put in year to date and see if you want to make any adjustments in your paycheck. People that don't have a retirement plan at work but are contributing to Roth IRAs or IRAs on their own, just to a traditional IRA or Roth out of their own pocket, they have enough time because that doesn't have to be done until basically April 15th or when they file their taxes.
Mm-hmm. About like a simple and a SEP?
Simples.
End of year?
Actually, with simples, you have the employer. Same thing. Simples are similar to a 401k where you have to alter your salary deferral before the end of the calendar year. And the employer has until the end of January to get the contributions in. With a SEP IRA, that's the same as an IRA and a Roth, where you have up to tax filing time to make a retroactive contribution. So mm-hmm. those people have people that have SEPs or traditional IRAs or are contributing to Roth IRAs, they have time mm-hmm. to worry about their contributions.
What's the most you can put into a SEP?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Cindy. I happen to have my referral key numbers right here. Actually, a SEP is like, that's like the hardest question you could have asked because it's based on the amount of income you earn in the prior year.
Okay.
So if you're just a solo practitioner and you're one person and you have a SEP IRA, you can basically put in about 20% of your earnings in the prior year. I think it's your net Schedule C earnings in the prior year. And if you're an employee of a company and your employer is putting SEP contributions in, it's based on how much the employer puts. There's like a complicated calculation. It's based on how much the employer puts in to mm-hmm. their account and has to be distributed evenly based on salary, I think. So that was, I was prepared for every other type of retirement account, Cindy.
Leave it to me.
SEP was the most complicated one you could have asked. Mm-hmm. It's not a blanket number for everybody. It's based on your earnings.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's really hard for people who, like for all the agents in the mm-hmm. office, I think we have 56 agents, I think, right now, and we're all considered independent contractors.
Right. Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I do really want to have you come in. Oddly, we got an email today, and it wasn't sent to me. It was sent to Melissa. Oddly, and it was one of our agents has a friend who is in the industry of doing what you do, financial planning and all that. And Melissa was in my office and she read it to me. And I was like, you know how to respond, right? She's like, yes. we already have one of those.
I know. I would be happy to do that. Yeah. I would be happy to come talk to the agents about how much, you know, what their options are for putting money into retirement plans. Based in rough calculations mm-hmm. on how much they could do. It's basically about 20% of their net Schedule C income from the prior year, and they would just work with an accountant to calculate.
Yeah, and we have something coming up in November for budgeting, maybe that's something good that you could sort of piggyback on that
as
well. So if people are planning on budgeting, I mean, when we get a check as an agent, we know how to put so much aside for taxes. You know what I mean? And how much aside should go for, you know, running your business. But that would be something good to talk about as well. So
that
I'll
should
let you
be
know
right
there
at the top
is.
Of the list of what you're setting money aside for.
Yeah. It is in November. In so hopefully you'll be able to make it to that. And I will definitely let you know when the date is on that, too.
Sure.
So what were some of the other things you wanted to talk about?
Some of the other
ones
were for people that are 70 and a half and older and have retirement plans and they have to take money out of their mm-hmm. retirement plan, whether or not they need the money or not.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, isn't it like you have to do 10,000, was it, a year? No, something.
So again, it's a percent. It's a percent. Yep. Okay. So in the year that you turn 70 and a half, do we have to get the doorbell?
No, that's okay.
In the year that you turn 70 and a half and every year thereafter, if you have retirement assets, you're required to take a certain percentage of the value of the account out annually. It starts at 3.65% of the account value the year prior. And that percent that you have to take out increases as you get older. So you have to take a higher percentage of the prior year value every year. If you're over 70 and a half and you're still working, but you don't own more than 10% of the business, you don't have to withdraw right away from your active retirement plan at work. But if you have other IRAs, you do.
So what do you do? Like, this is not my case, but I'm just sort of curious with some of your clients. Like, if you just don't. Like what
if you don't need the money?
Yeah, like where do you put it?
So there, you know, good problem to have if you're required to withdraw and you really don't need the money. Well, take an extra vacation, gift it to your kids, things like that. But also you do have to pay the income taxes on it, mm-hmm. but you can turn around. You can direct it to a non-retirement investment account. We actually have some clients that do that. We either withhold taxes for them or not. They can catch up with the taxes at, you know, in the following spring. But we can direct it internally, just move the dollars over to a non-retirement investment account, and then they can reinvest it into a separate account, but it's mm-hmm. still in their portfolio. But regardless, it's a taxable event. Essentially, the government wants their tax revenue because you got a tax break when you put money in during your working year. So it's a forced tax revenue for the government, mm-hmm. source of revenue. Okay. So just the reminder was just to make sure that people, if you're if you turn 70 and a half this year, or if you're older, you have to withdraw, you know, pay attention to whether or not you satisfied your required distribution. Because if you didn't, there's a 50% tax penalty.
Oh, really?
On the amount of the withdrawal. So it's a huge tax penalty. And actually in the first year you turn 70 and a half, you can actually defer that first year till the following spring. I think it's April 1st. Mm-hmm. But if you do that, you have to take double the amount in that second year.
So it doesn't really make sense. A married couple, and you know, he turns 70 and a half before you, can it wait until the second person?
Because retirement monies are in individual names. They're never jointly owned. Yeah. Okay. So it's an individual calculation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope I have that problem someday.
And then my last tip was, there are some people in their retirement years who we work with to draw tax efficiently from their portfolio. In other words, let's say someone retired and they're in this fortunate situation where they have a bunch of cash in the bank, and they say, you know what, I know I stopped working, but I have a bunch of cash in the bank. I'm going to live off of that for like this year, and I don't need any money from my portfolio until next year or whatever. You know, that's an opportunity, because in that year when that person has no earned income, no withdrawals from the portfolio, maybe they didn't collect Social Security yet. So if they have no taxable income in a given year, it just might be an opportunity to draw from a retirement account or to realize capital gains in a non-retirement account in a year when they're in a really low tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we're coming up on the end of the year, that might be, if someone's in that situation, they're in a really low tax bracket this year, but maybe they are going to be in required distributions later and be in a higher tax bracket. It's just an opportunity for people to take advantage of a low tax bracket and maybe take some money out. Hmm. We need like a whole hour to talk about that strategy.
That's a lot. You just lost me a little bit. I'm not going
to
lie.
Well, there is a lot to discuss on all that. Yeah. And if people want to talk to you more about it, I know you do a great job with planning, forecasting, and all of that. So how can people get in touch with you?
781-834-2010 or McNamaraFinancial.com.
Can you give that number one more time?
781-834-2010.
Perfect. And you guys are the best of the best. And Cindy, how can people get in touch with you?
781-367-4419.
Perfect. And what about Gutter Monkeys? You guys must be busy.
We are very, very busy, which is great.
Get those gutters cleaned out.
Get your gutters cleaned. 781-421-1111.
Perfect. You want to get those gutters clean because you don't want any problems in your basement. Larry, it was great to see you. BostonConnect.com.
Thanks, Larry.